All right.
All right.
We'll call this to order. This regular meeting of the City of Unalaska Council meeting is called to order at 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. Yeah. Go ahead, Bo.
I make a motion to appoint Councilman Bell to be the pro temp mayor.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Any debate? Hearing none. Roll call vote.
Certainly, Nicholson.
Yes.
Luby.
Yes.
Coleman.
Yes.
Tungle.
Yes.
Robinson.
No.
Bell.
Got to be different.
Thanks, sir. yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Let's see about Councilman Coleman. Read our mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
All right, thank you. Can I get a roll call?
Certainly, Mr. Bell.
Here.
Ms. Coleman.
Here.
Ms. Luby.
Here.
Mr. Nicholson.
Here.
Mr. Robinson.
Present.
Mr. Tungle.
Here.
And Mr. Tudyakov is absent.
It appears we have a quorum, and Mayor Tudyakov, his absence is excused. Can I get Councilman Nicholson to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, next on the agenda is recognition of visitors, and I will just do a blanket thank everyone for who is attending in person here. And we'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Okay, a motion is made by Luby, Councilman Luby, and seconded by Nicholson, Councilman Nicholson. Is there any objections or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, hearing no objections, the agenda is adopted. Next, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the minutes of May 23rd?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting, May 23rd, 2023.
Second.
Motion's been made by... We got a lot of feedback. Do we get a second mic going? Let me try that. I think that's a little better. Okay. The motion's been made by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Is there any objection to the minutes of May 23rd meeting? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. We're moving right along here. We'll roll into the city manager's report. We have...
Hi, everyone. This is Bill. Can you hear me?
I'll leave it to Bill here. Thank you.
Mr. Honka's report was included in your packet, and I'll turn it over to Bill now. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Marjorie. It's been busy since the last council meeting, and the report shows some of the work. I'd like to really call out the work of the staff, courts, PCR, fire, for the Japanese training squadron that was in. I think everyone saw people everywhere wandering around the community for a few days, and that was nice. And the guests were very grateful for the work and the accommodations that we made, and I think it was mutually beneficial. I think a lot of people attended some of the events that they put on at PCR, and it really was nice to see some of that, and the staff did a great job at that. The comp study, I think, is probably the other thing I'd want to point out. We had quite a few proposals submitted, and we whittled them down to two. We've already interviewed one, and I think the next one is scheduled upon my return. Our HR manager is traveling as well. So we were pleased with getting that many proposals, and we should be making a selection soon. I'd also like to, I left out one item, and that is Mr. Laddick will be traveling to Unalaska 2 weeks from now. Basically, he'll be here for this the next council meeting. I think he'll be here Sunday through Wednesday. So if you have anything for him or want to talk to me about how we're going to program that, I'm happy to talk to you guys. Just give me a call. And that's all I have.
All right. Did anyone on council have any questions? I guess we can start off with Vice Mayor Robinson. Did you have any questions for the city manager?
I do not. Thank you.
And it appears we have no other questions for the city manager. Thank you, Mr. Homka, for your report.
Thank you.
We'll move on to community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to council or to make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and council will not get engaged in dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Roger Blakely here from Parks and Recreation. On Wednesday, June 21st at 7 p.m., we will have our summer solstice run, the annual event. It will be the race location will be at Carly Moses Boat Harbor. We want you all to come out and enjoy the run. And then for you people that are looking way into the future, not way, just a few months, on the Heart of Aleutians will be coming in August, and that'll be August 19th. But vendors that want to reserve a table or space, you need to do that starting in July 1st. So we encourage you all to do that. It should be a fun event on August 19th. Thank you.
I'm Lynn Crane. I'm speaking on behalf of the Unalaska Public Library. The summer reading programs are happening right now. That's for all ages, and there's lots of cool prizes and stuff associated with that. So check that out. I would say between 80 and 100 people showed up for USAVE's Pride event on June 2nd, which was very, very cool. It was nice to see so many people there. We are hoping to do something on Monday for Juneteenth. It's a new federal holiday that a lot of people don't know a lot about, including me, and so we're kind of trying to put something together. I don't know exactly what that will look like, but look for advertisements about that. we're showing a movie at the library community room on Thursday, the 15th. That's this Thursday at 6 p.m. It's called Young at Heart. It's kind of to commemorate Elder Abuse Awareness Month. It's not a movie about elder abuse. It's actually a very uplifting and happy movie that I would encourage people to come and see. It's really good. Also, USAVE, as most people know, decided to cancel our biggest annual fundraiser in March after some really tragic things happened in the community. We are doing an online auction starting tomorrow that will run for 2 weeks, auctioning off some of the items that were donated to us. We've gotten permission from the donors to do that so that we can bring in a little bit of money before the end of the fiscal year. There are several tickets on several different airlines, a little bit of artwork, and some certificates for seafood. So just about 7 items, but we'll be publishing the auction link around town starting tomorrow. So call me if you have any questions, 581-1500. Thanks.
Is there anyone else in chambers that wish to speak? City Clerk, were there any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or the phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Thank you. So we'll move on to public comment on agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda if they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you will need to sign up with the City Clerk. If you want to speak, please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and council will not engage in dialogue. Is there anyone that wishes to speak? City Clerk, were there any written comments, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. So we'll move into public hearing. Members of the public may testify on any items set for public hearing, and there is a 3 minute time limit per person. Please come to the podium and state your name. The first item, public hearing is now open for ordinance 2023-05, amending the fee schedule, specifying the fees and charges for services, labor, and equipment provided by the city. Does anyone wish to speak? City Clerk, were any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Hearing no testimony, public hearing is now closed. Next, the public hearing is now open for ordinance 2023-06, amending the Port of Dutch Harbor Unalaska Marine Center terminal tariff. Does anyone present wish to speak? City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Hearing no testimony, the public hearing is now closed. And we're moving right along here. Next up is the work session. Can I get a motion to move into the work session?
I make a motion to move into the work session.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mr. Nicholson, by Councilman Nixon, seconded by Councilman Tungle. Is there any objections? Hearing no objections, we are in work session at 6:13. First item on the in the work session is a new website and mobile app for parks, culture, and recreation. I'll turn it over to the city manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. We've got Roger Blakely, who's the director of PCR, to talk to us about this new app and website.
Thank you. Appreciate being here tonight, Council. As you know, the city is getting an opportunity to have high-speed internet. And with that high-speed internet, we in Parks and Recreation knew that there would be other activities that people would take on, and they would enjoy the high-speed internet, and sometimes recreational activities that we're used to would take a back seat to some of that stuff. Streaming movies, playing video games online, those type of things. And so we looked in the future, and about 8-10 months ago, Albert, our recreation manager, was given the task to go find out what
recording in progress
the people in the lower 48 were doing, and how could we manage that, and how could we provide a really good opportunity for our customers, and how could we enter into this digital age on the island. And so for the last 8 months or so, Albert's been working pretty hard on making this happen. And tonight, Albert's here to give you kind of an overview of what we have going and what you can expect from the community and what they can expect to have from us, which is kind of a game changer for us in the electronic era. So with that, I'll turn it over to Albert. Albert?
We have a brief video that the company that we worked with put together.
Introducing the brand new app for Parks, Culture, and Recreation Unalaska. It's everything PCR Unalaska in your pocket. This is the home screen. Tap the three horizontal lines in the bottom left to see all the menu items. To turn on push notifications, tap Settings and select Push Notifications. The events section shows a list of events happening throughout PCR on Alaska. Tap here to add an event to your calendar. The feed is where you'll find updates from PCR on Alaska. Search PCR on Alaska in the App Store or Play Store to explore the app for yourself. It's everything PCR on Alaska in your pocket.
So as Roger said, one of the things that we're looking forward to is this high-speed internet and the effect that it's going to have on PCR. And so one of our goals has been for a while to have a better online presence as far as marketing goes. We've had an app for a while that's basically just lets you read the activity guide on your phone, but that's about the limit of that app. And so looking forward, knowing that we were going to have internet available where more people might be willing to use some of their data to look up PCR programs, download things, maybe even register for them. And so we were looking for something that we could use, a new app that would be a little more user-friendly, have a little more functionality. And so we were pointed in the direction of the school. They recently worked with this company, Aptigy, that we worked with, to produce our website and app. And so that was one of the reasons why we went with this company, was because a lot of parents are already used to the form and how this website and app work, because the school has been using it for a little while now. And so it does look very similar in form and function to the school. It's one of the benefits is that it's kind of a plug and play sort of a website. And so rather than something that's totally custom where you have to have a good background in web design and coding, we can teach almost any staff member at PCR how to use this website. And so it's really easy to get updates and information out to folks. And that's what's going to be important for us in using this, is having it available to a wide array of our staff. And therefore, lots of information is going to be up there. You should be able to find anything, any piece of information that you want about PCR, about programs, services that we offer, are now on this website and through the app. It is a combo, and so we have this website. One of the benefits of getting the website was we were allowed to get our own domain name, and so it's unalaskapcr.com. That's a lot simpler to tell people when you're trying to tell them where to sign on to. We can just tell them, sign on unalaskapcr.com, and you go straight to our website. We have it linked with the existing city website. If someone goes to the existing city website, they click on PCR, it's going to take them to this site. It's not kind of a standalone thing. We are still connected, but again, this website just a little bit easier to use, both for the back-end user and for the front line folks that are coming to look for information. One of the big benefits that this has for us is it really streamlines the marketing process. In the past, Nichelle Kernine, our special events and community relations coordinator, would have to upload information about a program 3 to 4 different times. She might have to put something on the existing city website, on Facebook, on Instagram, maybe send out a text message alert about it, all those different things, and that required putting 4 different places all of that same information. But with this website, we have the ability to upload that information one time, tell it where we want it to go, Facebook, Instagram, push notification, and this website will immediately push that out to all of those sources. And so that's really helpful as well. It also has the ability, because it's so simple to work with, we've been able to cross-link a bunch of information. And so as you're browsing around, for instance, the library, Lynn mentioned the summer reading program, and if you go on, you can find the sheets that you have to fill out for that program. You can find them under the resources tab. If you go to the program on the calendar, you can find that same document link there. And if you look for information on the program, underneath the programming tab, you can download or click to download that document from there as well. And so there's a lot of stuff linked, making it a lot easier, hopefully, to find the information and things that you're looking for. The app itself, if you download it on your phone, you're going to see around all summer long, our big push for the entire summer is going to be trying to get folks to download this app. And we have a QR code. There's a poster at PCR. There will be posters at all of our events. I put a flyer out here on the table right inside the entryway of City Hall. All you have to do is point your camera phone at that QR code, and it should automatically take you to either the Apple Play Store or the Google Play Store, where you can download the app. And so we're going to try to get as many people as possible downloading that app. We also, you saw there in the video, the need to turn on your push notifications if you want to get a little notification whenever we put out information. Like we've been telling folks that PCR Summer Playground Program is going on right now. And so if it's rainy, we can send out a notification for parents that says, hey, we're going to be inside at the community center today, or hey, we're still going to be at the park, put your raincoats on. Just really easy to send out notifications like that and keep the public up to date. We have the news feed within the app, which is where you can see it up there. It says news. All of the programs that we're doing as they're coming up, we'll be putting those things out to try and drive folks to that. We also have the calendar where you can see everything that's going on through PCR. You can access the calendar on the website and also in the app. And one of the great things we've constantly, ever since we got our first app, the question has always been, can I put the program in my phone on my calendar so I get a reminder that I've signed up for this thing? And this, one of the benefits of this website and app is that we've been able to do that now. So if you go to the calendar page, you see a program you like, you're able to add that to the calendar on your phone or on your computer, and it'll give you whatever reminder you tell it to look up for. We also, like I said, we have the ability to do push notifications. There is a sheet in the back that explains how to turn those things on. And then specifically, we've developed on this website, under the programming page, we have Summer 2023 Programs, its own tab. So just like the activity guide, this is replacing our activity guide. All of that information is on here. We still do have a digital activity guide that you can click on here and look at, but we also have that program tab divided up just like the activity guide. So if you're looking for an aquatics program, you can go under Summer 2023 there like Margie's doing. You can click on Aquatics Programming Summer 2023, and you'll see every program that we have going on this summer. And then last thing I'll mention, we're looking forward to come July. We'll be working throughout the course of the summer and hopefully have this ready to work out or ready to roll out by fall. But we're working with RecTrack, which is our program registration software, to allow people to start registering for programs online. And that will, again, be linked here so that once that is live, when you see this program, underneath each of those programs will be a link that says register now, and you can click on it and you can register for the program directly through the app. So all these things, again, trying to do our best. A lot of people have their phones out with the high-speed internet. You know, that's where their attention, they're vying for their attention there. And so we're just trying to get ourselves into that space, make PCR program services and information accessible to folks in a way that's very usable for us and for the community. So again, the website is unalaskapcr.com. And then if you open up the app store, we do for a little while, we still have two apps because our old app is still in there. So you're specifically looking for the app that's labeled PCR Unalaska, but hopefully sometime soon, the previous company we worked with will be able to shut off the old app and then there won't be that confusion anymore. So unalaskapcr.com and then PCR Unalaska for the app, or you can just scan one of the QR codes you see around town. Thank you.
Impressive, thank you. Was there any comment or questions from council? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I just want to say, I think it's awesome.
Thanks.
Love it.
Thanks. Yeah, we're excited about
that's
it.
That's a great, you know, a great thing, and it helps to let everybody know, and even people that are interested in moving to Unalaska,
yep,
they would be able to access that and see just the different activities we have, that which might entice them to come here, too. So thank you. Appreciate that.
We hear a lot of times when people come that they've checked out PCR's website or our Facebook page and looked up information to make part of that decision-making process.
Vice Mayor Robinson, did you have any questions or comments?
No, I was just looking at it. It's pretty impressive. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I guess I'll entertain any comments in chambers here if anyone would like to make any comments or has any questions. All right, hearing none. We'll move on to the next subject on the agenda here is the Robert Storrs Harbor A and B Float Replacement Project. And I'll turn it over to the city manager to introduce.
So we have the director of Ports and Harbors, Peggy McLaughlin, here to provide an update on the Storrs Harbor Float Replacement Project. It's been a couple of years since we gave you guys an update on this project. So we're pretty sure that you're going to appreciate the report. And I'll turn it over to Peggy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. Most of this is outlined and detailed in the memo, but I just want to highlight a couple of things. With the completion of the acquiring of the tidelands from the state for the additional space for expansion of the harbor, we've been able to start moving forward with this project in general. We've been meeting with P&D. The last phase of that tideland piece is to have that surveyed and formally filed with the state. P&D, we had an open contract with them. They did the scoping work for us originally and came up with some possible concept designs for us. And so they're going to finish up with that agreement and file the survey piece. Rolling on that sooner than later. In the works that we need to complete in order to be able to manage the kind of the designs that are out in concept now. And most of that is just to include proper city parking for the facility itself. The designs that we're looking at, March, do you mind throwing up that one of those pictures? This is kind of, this will be a hybrid of this one, but the design generally allows us to have over 40 slips and some linear tie. It does acquire, it does maintain 60-foot slips, and it ranges from like 26-foot slips to 60-foot slips for the Alaska State Water Fishery boats, and then there's lots of linear tie for the summer recreational users. It will have year-round water. It will have limited electrical, but it will have electrical to many of the slips, certainly the 60-foot slips. The goal here is to not overbuild, but to build a harbor that we can really use, the community can use. This is really the only harbor we have for the community itself. Long and short, we've done some research while we're waiting for the tideland piece to come through and have come up with really centered in on two companies that kind of have plug and play float designs and kind of settled on one design. Once P&D has finished the survey work, they will bring these concept designs into a 35% design. At that point, we will be working on, and we are working kind of simultaneous with that, drafting the RFP language for the design build process. And that will go out where, what that means is that that will go out once the permitting is in place to a company to, we'll have the rough ideas of what we want. Here's the floats we want. Here's the number of electrical outlets we want. Here's kind of the year-round water. This is where we want the headwalk. And they will put together the most cost-effective way to plug and play those pieces together. The Harbor Matching Grant Program is due August 5th. I think that's a key component. That's something that we've really kept on our radar. That would be awarded, it would be available, potentially if we were awarded, it would be available for construction in the spring. I know that the engineers are telling us that the permitting process is somewhere between 12 and 18 months, but we also know that there's active permits in the area, particularly for the marine mammal piece that we might be able to piggyback off of and kind of shorten that. The geotech work has been done, so the environmental piece of that would should be shortened as well. Really had three goals when we looked at this site plan, and one of them was to increase the amount of space available to the users, because we've always had a healthy waiting list, and about the time we get it cleared off, here comes the waiting list again. The other one is to deal with the shallow that is right at the corner of B Float. As you round B Float, there's a rock basically there, and that creates a shallow, so there's only certain boats that you can bring around that back side of it. And then obviously to upgrade the facility to take care of that shallow and to increase our number of slips. So this would also provide parking and a modest public restroom, which we're required by code to do. That's just kind of the nutshell. The timeline looks like we're hoping to be able to have enough information to complete our harbor matching grant program for the harbor matching grant program in August. We're going to put an application in, whether we feel like it's completely ready for that or not. We should have updated costs with that. And then we'll be pushing for all of the pieces to line up for spring, summer construction, with any luck. So that's just a quick update.
All right, thank you for that update. Council, any questions or comments? Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, we had this project hold up for a long time. And those A&B plot, they really need to be addressed up. It's might become a liability in the future in year the way they are. It's getting pretty old, and they need to be upgraded. But what happened to the grant that we had before? I thought we got grant approved before in the previous years that
We did. We had a grant that we that was part of, we used to build Discovery Dock. And so it wasn't enough to do both. So we built Discovery Dock, and then because these were state-issued float systems, they were actually towed over from the spit and reconfigured to fit in that basin. This also qualifies under the Tier 1 program for Harbor Matching Grant, which gives it a priority.
Thank you.
Councilman Colvin.
Thank you. So, yeah, like Mr. Tungle said, these things are, I see it, falling apart. Half the electrical doesn't work, have to turn off water half the time it's leaking. We got fingers that are floating away. There's a certain amount, but, you know, so we've put some money away. We've already designated a certain amount of fund. I can't remember off the top of my head how many millions we've got.
I think we've got about 6.5.
6.5 on this one. So I don't know. Are we, you know, you got the Harbor matching grant. Is this something that, it seems to me we're kind of at a crossroads on this one. Like, either we need to fix what we got and put a lot of money into fixing what we got, or we just might have to just bite the bullet and replace it, even if we don't get harbor matching, if the grant doesn't go through.
Correct. And truly, I mean, council has kind of been through the selection process of this site and this concept. However, council can always go back and say, look, we want to just replace in kind. There would be a significant cost savings in that, for sure. And that's always an option. But we still will have to deal with some of the pieces that are creating, like the navigation piece around B float and the parking issues. So, yeah. I mean, the electrical obviously has to go. We would like to be able to provide year round water. However, if council would, you know, we could take a look at pricing it out to just replace in kind, if that's your preference. We'd kind of gone through that process originally, but we've been sitting on it for quite a long time. So, absolutely up to you guys. I personally think it would benefit the city of Onalaska and the community to be able to expand those. It may be something that we, you know, have to, maybe we can do it in a phase situation, but we really, we do have to get going on it. And I think we've got a kind of our window is shrinking. So 12 to 18 months is what we're looking at. And we should have an updated cost analysis here too.
That would help.
Yeah, it would help.
Right. And I mean, I've been a proponent of this for many, many years. In fact, this actually started as grassroots to fix residential floats for, you know, small boats. And then it turned into the new small boat harbor at CEM, which was then not for non-commercial. So once again, the residents got shut out. I see a lot more bigger boats around here. People, I think there's opportunity for people to who live here, like to be able to leave their boat in the water at least, you know, a few months out of the year. So I think this is just one of those things I think council will decide, hopefully get some public input on too, that it's one of those builds that's not going to bring back a lot of revenue for the city. This is a pretty much for the people who live here, just one of those other things that if you enjoy boating, being on the water, it's just one of those things. It's nice to have this amenity, you know. Number one fishing port in the nation, and you can't even don't even have a place to put your boat. The other thing, I do also see in the summertime a lot of sailboats come in and out, and there's no place to put them. They're stacked up over there on Discovery Float, and which, you know, has commercial boats on it too. So there's a lot to think about here. You know, just full disclosure, I have a boat out there so in half a year, so I would love to see it improved. But again, it really kind of comes down to, you know, people in town, you know, residents, what do you want? What do you want to see and your improvements? And then, you know, we go from there. So, yeah. You know, if you have any thoughts, please speak up. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Robinson, did you have any questions or comments?
Yes, this 11 years coming. This is really, really exciting. The question I have is, during construction of this, how many boats are we going to displace, and do we have space to put those boats?
So thank you for asking that question, and that's really a timing issue. If indeed we are able to meet the spring summer demand, we will do similar to what we did with Sea Float or Discovery Float, and that is utilize the slips at CEM, where you can put multiple vessels into like one slip over there because of the length of them. While those boats are out fishing, we also ended up using the inside of the boat launch. So I really won't know what we will end up displacing depending on, you know, the timing of things. To Councilmember Coleman's comments, I think it would be really interesting to take a look at, because the boats are both getting bigger and more expensive. And so in order for people to bring those investments into this community, they're going to need a quality facility. Nobody wants to tie their boat up to a finger that's going to be blown off in the next 100-mile-an-hour storm. So that's something to think about. But the timing of construction will make a difference in how we handle the boats that are there.
Thank you.
Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I just want to say that this is something that's been a long, long time. I remember talking about it even back in the early 90s. It's always the community, you know, recreational stuff that gets set aside. And, you know, so I'm really happy this is finally moving forward, and I am 100% in support of it. So let's get her done.
Let's get her done, indeed. Agreed.
Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you. And for that as well, I am in support of this. This is something that I'd like to buy a boat and have a place to park it in a secure area. And this is something that I think it'd be good for the community to have, something that, you know, would be nice and a secure place to secure anything that we have. Thank you.
Councilman Tungle.
Yeah, with all those boats or skip that are tied up there, are they all operable and be able to move around, or is there really one in there that abandoned?
No, we have one vessel that we are painfully working through the process of acquiring. It's basically they're in arrears, significantly in arrears with their payments. The boat does not run, and that's one of the things with the operating plans. We'll be looking at some of those kind of things so that vessels we may put into place with council's blessing, pieces in the operating plan that require vessels to be able to prove that they can operate and move each year. And that's pretty commonplace now within the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Ms. Trungle. And I'll just make a quick comment. I just want to encourage any public input we can get on this project. This is a project for the community. It's directly going to benefit the community. So any input on this would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
And let's see. I'll take any public comments or questions on this subject. Go ahead and approach the podium there. Remind you of a 3-minute limit. Thank you.
Yeah, good evening. Travis Swingle, local here. I was listening to this on the radio, and I wanted to make a comment on this. So we're a community that's deeply connected to the water. And in 27 years of living here, I've watched the local boat population grow, small boats. And I think this is a good opportunity to sort of pursue the local connection with the water by building more slips for small boats, as well as visitors coming here, whether it be a sailboat or a motorboat that's coming to this region of the world to explore. I think this upgrade to this harbor would be a significant improvement to our community. So I would support this and just wanted public comment since nobody else was saying anything. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swingle. Any further comments? Okay, hearing none, I guess we'll move on to the next subject here, and that's the Unalaska Fishermen's Memorial Site Options. I'll turn it over to the interim city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. So council has expressed support for the Unalaska Fishermen's Memorial several times, and that extended to $250,000 worth of funding over two fiscal years. A site has not been selected, and Thomas Ruforsen, our planning department, is here to review with you five sites near the Carly Moses Boat Harbor. Those aren't the only possibilities in town, but those are the five that we're looking at because the consensus seemed to be to place it near the CEM. So Thomas is here to present the pros and cons of each of those five sites to you.
All right, greetings, Mayor and Council. So over the last, was it last week? Maybe the week before, we looked at a few different sites, and we actually had the fire department out with us. You'll see in the packet that they were stand-ins for our statue for the memorial. So we did review five sites, and if you look at page 13 of the packet there, you'll see that there's the first site being the end of the road at the bottom, the turnaround at the very far end of the road. The second being just around the corner at the A float there, just kind of diagonal across from where the boat launch is. The third site is the overlook site across from the C float. And then fourth site is over by the bridge in that kind of little dip down where the road used to be. And the fifth site is at the, there's kind of a flat spot before the bridge in between the two guardrails where they end. Along the channel there, so we're calling that one Channel Overlook. So these sites, we'll move to page 14. This first site here, we'll look at the end of the road. I've heard from a couple of individuals that this would be a good place to put the statue. However, we've gone down there and looked at the site. There is limited visibility for this site. The major issue here is that we lose the oil spill response equipment that's all been pre-placed for rapid response. It is also the least preferred location for the Ports Department. So this is one of the sites that we've kind of discounted. And on the next page, you can see kind of the limited sight lines there for that spot. The camera's a little blurry, but as you can see, kind of it's lost in the overall area. And because it's so far tucked away, you're not going to be able to see it at all from the road, which is one of the kind of criteria we were looking at. On the next page. So site two is on the corner there. You can see it in the overview. It lacks our dedicated parking. It's practically invisible from Airport Beach Road. There's going to be significant site work related to it. As you can see, it's a very small sliver of land that the city actually owns in that area. It will interfere with trailer parking for everybody who's using the the boat ramp there. And it invites traffic of, you know, tourists and everything deep into the port, which has a potential to interfere with operations down there. So for those reasons, we looked at it and chose and recommend against this site as well. And you can see a couple of pictures on the next page, what that looks like in place. And if you go on to the next one. So from here, you can see the little red dot far above the pickup truck in the dead center there. That's zoomed in with the telephoto lens on the little camera that planning has. So, and you can see from the bridge, it is practically invisible. It's tucked way back there. Moving to the next one. This is the overlook. This is the preferred location. It is a blank slate. It is peak visibility for all of the vessels in port, as well as a prominent location for individuals who are traveling up and down Swanson Drive. It pulls tourists up and out of the harbor. That means they won't. They'll be less likely to interfere with operations of, you know, commercial fishing down there. You have to pass the memorial to be able to utilize the docks. So anybody who's there, anybody who's going to be using those docks is going to be able to see it. Additionally, we did float this to OC because this is OC property, and they were excited about using it as a potential location to showcase our trilateral agreement and appreciation to the fishing industry that has basically been our livelihood out here. And for the many people who've been part of the tribe and the corporation who've been out fishing themselves, it does have a couple of cons because it is a complete blank slate. It's going to need some site work. There's going to be some parking requirements, some accessibility. It will need some lighting. And it, because it is up and elevated, it would have a little bit of exposure. But we feel that overall, the pros to this site definitely overweigh any of the issues, especially considering any of these sites is going to require some kind of site work for it. So if you look at the next page, you can kind of see an overview. As you see our kind of stand-in statue, you can see the masts of the ships in the background there. This is one of those sites where if we can pull down a little bit, because it slopes up before it goes down to Swanson Drive, by shaving a little bit off of the top there, it becomes very widely visible. The backdrops, the scenery, they're great for our tourism. And if you keep going. So you can see the red pickup truck is up on top of the hill there behind. This is from the A float. And a little further down, you can see what it looks like from the bridge. So it's a very prominent location. You can see it pretty much anywhere you are. And just kind of a mock-up of the kind of views that you would see if you were standing at that site. That broad overview of the entire harbor and kind of looking back up Captain's Bay towards town. The fourth site is the site bridge site, and this is within the city's right of way. It does have unused space that the city does own. It is visible from Airport Beach Road. You have to pass this site in order to be able to get down to the docks, so it doesn't draw tourists down into the harbor. Again, making it a safer location in that way. It does have waterfront location, and it is a pretty blank slate. However, it is below grade. It's a very limited parking area. It's situated very close to a very busy intersection that has a blind corner on it already. And it will require extensive site work to maximize the site in order to be able to make it more user and tourist friendly. So you have a couple of pictures here. This is looking at it from the boat harbor side, approximately across from the welding shop there. And again, looking towards the harbor. Okay. And then looking back across the bridge from across the road. And as you can see from, it is visible from the bridge, but it is kind of below grade, so it's not as quite clean kind of as a sight line. And the fifth and final site we're looking at is the overlook for the channel there. So this is the channel entrance that goes into the Bobby Storrs Harbor. It is the second preferred location from our ports department standpoint. Again, users for the dock will have to pass it in order to, and will have to see it. It is a waterfront location with high visibility from Airport Beach Road. It won't draw tourists down Swanson Drive at all in this case. It is a blank slate for this area, and it is another location for a potential partnership with OC. Because we will have to share either share land or share access to that site because there are portions of it that are OC owned. And you can kind of see those property boundaries in there. As far as Kansu, it is exposed to very high winds in that area, as I'm sure we all know driving down that road during a storm. The property, again, is split ownership, so that does complicate things a little bit. And it does have some limited space there, being adjacent to the road in the right-of-way. You'd have to cross the pedestrian road in order to be able to park in there. And it is still in kind of proximity to that intersection of Swanson Drive. But it does have some very nice visibility, and it does have some pretty nice sight lines. However, you cannot see the Carly Moses Boat Harbor from it at all.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. Councilman Coleman, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, just one quick question to start off with. I'm failing to miss the keen association with CEM. I mean, we've got boats everywhere. I don't know why we're limiting ourselves to locations that are adjacent to CEM. Not sure I ever remember anybody discussing that how important it is to be near CEM. So if you could help me understand why we're so infatuated with that.
As far as my recollection goes, at one point when we were discussing placing the memorial, that was highlighted by council in the discussions for the funding as one of the locations that might be preferable, given that the fishermen who the memorial kind of is dedicated to, they're using that facility. Additionally, I mean, there's the Memorial Park where it could be placed. There are other places where the statue would go, but this was the one that was kind of overall in our recollection there wasn't a directive, but it was, again, discussed overall as a potential place.
Okay, because I really don't remember that being a really key issue. In fact, I mean, this whole outside of the valley, I mean, this whole community is fishing, including processors, you know, have boats there, you know, out towards the Spit area. So I guess I don't want to be stifled in the sense that these are, I mean, and I'm not suggesting another place. I was just wondering what it was with why we're so focused on CEM, because that just represents a small portion of our entire fleet. Thank you.
Councilman Luby.
Yeah, actually I have a few things. So one of them is, have we talked to UPD about traffic congestion, if it was going to be in the channel, with it being so close to the Henry Swanson blind corner, which I've actually ran into issues there quite a bit, actually trying to pull out of there, and you can't see to the left a lot of times. And so if you have people pulling out of there, you know, to make a turn, and you have, you know, you're already watching for traffic from both ways, and now you have somebody that might come out from across the road, that's just a third point to look at. Another thought that I think of when you say visible from the road and the bridge, people coming across the bridge, I would rather them keep their eyes on the road and not be trying to look for this. And I agree with Councilman Coleman that I don't think that we should concentrate on the CEM docks, just because usually they tie up and go home. There's, you know, I drive down there all the time. There's not a lot of traffic down there. More people would be apt to probably, you know, go up and look at it in on site three, because there's a lot of people that do hike up the hill there. So, you know, that one, that's probably my preferred spot out of all of these five. But again, I think that we should look other places. You know, there are other options. And I know when we were talking about it, we did talk about the airport. And I know, you know, it's not, there's not a dock there. But if you kind of look at the, and I know we're talking about maybe building a new one, and there could be some, you know, some reasons why we wouldn't want to put it there, but I just wanted to kind of highlight some of my thoughts about the airport area. If you, there's a little bench that sits on the northwest side of the airport, and I was kind of looking at that, and I'm like, well, that might be a really nice place for it. And the reason that I would think that that would be a good place, you have quite a few of the boats exit Captain's Bay, and they would go right by that on their way out the channel and out to sea. If they wanted to pay tribute to it as they're on their way out or into port, it's right there visible for them. It might be kind of small, you know, maybe not. I'm not sure how big it's going to look, but if it's lit up, it might be a really good place, you know, for them to see it. Another thing is fishermen, tourists, all the community members fly in and out of that airport all the time. While you're sitting there waiting for a plane or waiting for the plane to cancel or whatever, you might you might go out and look at it. You know, I think it would get quite a bit of exposure there compared to some of the other places from all the way around. So those are just my thoughts. And there might be, you know, reasons that I don't know of that you might not even wanted to look at that area. I feel like the construction costs might be a little cheaper. You already have parking. You know, it's much smaller area to maybe have to develop. So I just, you know, kind of wanted to say that. And another place that I thought might be kind of nice is the spit. I mean, it's a little far out of the way, but out at the end of the spit, there, you know, all the boats go by out there on this side of the channel. And as they pass the red can, there it is. So my preferable spot is actually the airport, but and I don't mind site three. It seems like it would be the better of all the five that you chose. So I would like to see what the cost of all this, of all the locations are, though, because that's pretty important as well. So, anyway, thank you.
Councilman Tungle?
Yeah. A few meetings, I think, discussion has been put out there about everybody mentioning about the Carl Moses because of the commercial boat tying up there, you know, for a long period of time. But I think location-wise, is I know we got a lot of options, but still we got to work with OC or the city, because the city is providing the lot that we agreed upon on this agreement with the, when they proposed this together with the money that we put in there. So I think that option three makes a, I agree with that option three being, it's not just visible, it's out of the way for traffic and everything else. And it's a good place to drive tourists and people visiting without congesting the road or any kind of traffic around. And that I know it get pretty busy in the summer in there when everybody go for sports fishing. But I think Carl Moses is a good place for it to be placed in there, and it'll be good with the fishermen, with them tying up in there all the time. It's pretty much designated with all these commercial fishermen that we have. But any other place will be good too if we can find something that that will work in the city, if the city have one. But I think that option three is my option too. I think it's a good place and it's out of the way, and I think I'll go stop from there.
Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you. I'm in agreement with site three. I do like that one, but as Councilman Luby was stating, for around the airport area, that would get a lot of foot traffic through there and probably more people visiting it and actually enjoying it more so there. So I'd like to see what, you know, if that would possibly be an option, but if it were to be at the boat harbor and stuff, I think that site three would be the best bet. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Robinson.
Yes, thank you. I wouldn't agree with anything near the airport. That World War II Visitor Center is within the building restriction zone. It's going to have to be moved. We don't expect that the state is going to extend that lease beyond the next 5 years. And so that's going to have to be moved. We're facing probably a terminal replacement, and it's already congested over there on what little land the city has. I think the prime spot for that would be Area 3 over the Carly Moses. The airport is just too restrictive as far as the availability of land. We already have a parking problem. We have a congestion problem with the rental cars there. And if we are to add a larger terminal and have to move the visitor center there, it's already going to be, I think it's out of the question for the airport. Looking ahead. So I'd prefer to see site three. Any other ones, they would just, in my opinion, create too many problems. Thank you.
Thank you. I like the idea of the airport or the UMC, my opinion is the only way that I could see those as being good sites would be as part of a total reworking of those sites. I mean, the south end of the UMC, at some point we're going to have to do a bunch of work on that, and it would be great, but that's going to be years away. And same with the airport, as part of a new terminal. It could be planned into whatever site plan is going to be made there, and that would be great. But once again, that's going to be years away. The one that makes sense to me, and I, you know, would be over there at the CEM, and originally thought a great place would be down by the buildings on that side, but apparently the footprint is going to be way too big for that. It says a 25-foot pedestal, and I assume we need at least several feet of walking space around that. Site three of all the sites kind of makes the most sense. The rest of them kind of look like either we ran out of places to put it, or we just threw it at the end of the road because we couldn't find anything else. But that the overlook is, I see it being one of the most expensive. I mean, my vision or what
popped in my head right off was, is, you know, making a set of stairs up the side of the hill there to a scenic overlook, because, I mean, the view from there is, on a sunny day, is gorgeous. You know, very photographic. And that would be a good site for that memorial to sit over and overlook that whole harbor. You would definitely want to look at some costs and what, you know, or some estimates of what that might look like. Other than that, I can't think of any place else off the top of my head that would be a good site. You know, if we're going to redo the Bobby Stores site, I don't know if there, you know, could possibly be something down there, but, anywhere in the city, I suppose there's a potential to make a good spot for that, just because we are a fishing community. So thank you. Councilman Libby, and then Coleman.
Yeah, I would really love to hear, since we have a couple people in the audience here, if Marie would maybe tell us what their vision was for where they thought it should be. And also, Evie, she's a fisherman. Maybe she would get up and say what her preference is. I'd love to hear from community members, anybody else that might have a preference of where they think it should be.
Sure, if I can let Councilman Coleman speak, and then we'll open it up for public comment.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Coleman.
Oops.
So, and the reason why, I guess specifically we have the founder for Rusting Man, is that, you know, an artist, God love them, are crazy in the sense they have a vision. And sometimes a piece of art is better stuck in a corner in the dark, or maybe it out in the light. I don't know. And so that, I kind of have held back on this, just because I'd like to hear maybe what they, you know, the whole concept is. It's not just what the structure is, but where it's located, or how that would fit into these options. So I guess I'm just kind of holding back and hoping that we could have some input there. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. It's kind of hard to start talking about this today, because if there would not be one council member who approached me in front of the store last week, we would have no idea that this working session was happening. Nobody ever gave us any notice about this. So finally today, then I tried to get on your website, but I couldn't open the thing which sites are available. So finally today I called planning and zoning, and I got these five sites. But seriously, we were not approached. So that's one of the reasons also why Carol is not here. So it's hard to talk about it. Originally, when we first looked at the sites, and I don't really know why it was Carl Moses Harbor, but that was our preferred site right from the beginning. We actually picked up number 3. And Carl was the one who said that would be really good there. And he actually looked at the stuff. There is a lighting post, so lighting is not such a big problem to get electricity there. He already saw right that. That would be no problem. So it probably would be expensive, probably needs a lot of work. We understand it's OC property also, so that's probably something which City of Unalaska has to work out with OC. Because, as we said, once the memorial is done, it's City of Unalaska property, so we won't have anything to do with it. So originally we were told, like, oh, you know, if it would be an OC, maybe then it would be a problem with, I don't know, lease or something. But basically that would not be our problem, we hope, of course, at least. But yes, number 3 was always our preferred site. I'm sure I can say that for Carl also. As far as what you're saying in your packet is that you would like to have it finished by the spring of 2020. Because we had agreement with DKR to help us actually donate the whole base, you know, for the monument and work on it. But because they're not here now, right now, and they won't be here next year, it's impossible for them to do it. So
So we're basically trying to find out somebody else who would donate or help us with it. So the base is still, we think, our, you know, responsibility. So that's another problem we are running into, and nobody actually approached us asking us, well, would it be possible to be finished in early spring 2024? So right now we don't really think it is possible because we still have to find somebody who will do all this tremendous work for the state. A lot about it. I was already working on it. He is ordering the material. He is working with some local contractors trying to find out if that's possible with them. But I can't really say anything else because we don't know. So that's my comment. But definitely, if you'd like to know which site, and I talked to Ellie, and we talked to our other board member, which is Jerry Martha. So I think our board is for number six. But also, Ellie expressed she would like to see some other options. But, yeah, I don't know. Again, that's my comment. If you have any questions, I would be happy to answer.
Yeah, Councilman Dunkel.
So did the BKR committed with you guys about putting the slab?
Yeah, we're basically coming back. That's part of our commitment also. Yeah. We're doing the slab, we're doing the siding, we're doing all that.
They're coming back.
So as far as we know, we're talking to Aaron, and right now he could not make any promises. He provided all the drawings and everything engineered, so we have all that. So that's all on the paper, you know, how it's supposed to be done and calculated and all that stuff. But right now he could not promise when they would be back and be able to do it. So that's one of the problems. So we cannot really commit, say, okay, next spring 2024, you know, the memorial will be done. As we said, the sculptures are on its way, and some of the plaques are also, the rest of the plaques, it's not such a big deal to get here eventually. But the base will be a little bit of problem right now. We have Alpha Welding committed to make a mast. We have all the epitong woods, you know, for the deck. So it would like to look real a deck. But, yeah, the concrete and everything else around it, right now, we don't know yet.
Thank you. Councilman Coleman.
So I'm just curious if it didn't matter, where would you put it in town?
It's just town.
If the sky was a limit, just curious, if the sky was a limit, where would you still would be the best place to live?
Me personally, I would simply for number three.
But of all, I mean, it's not what.
There was the just conversation between Evie and me. She said she would be interested to see some other.
So, but the point is, obviously, this one, if you had carte blanche on where to put this, where do you, I mean, would want to see it?
Was there any thoughts on the front, where the rat, between the rat and the airport? Is there, who owns that property? And because that's where most of the tourists are, it's always in between.
I don't think anyone discussed that, but you know, that's an interesting idea because it is out in front of
because it's
most
right
of the
there
public.
Where everybody passes, and the boats see it on the other side. I was just wondering why was it ever looked at?
Yeah, it is true because then the name mentioned, Ms. Lubit mentioned that there is a lot of foot traffic around the airport. I don't really think there is so much foot traffic around the airport. More foot traffic is like everything right there. Plus, the airport is so full with all the rental cars. I don't know what we would do about that. So, but, like as I said, we're open to any suggestions. So, I just wanted to make sure that we cannot really say it will be exactly done spring 2024. We hope so, of course. Sooner the better. But,
Vice Mayor Robinson, did you have any questions or comments? I just wanted to give you an opportunity to get in here.
I would say that the properties over in Margaret Bay by the RAT That may be a little bit tougher to get out of OC as it's prime commercial real estate. So, I mean, I would be hesitant about that. That probably wouldn't hurt to ask, but I would venture to say that there's probably going to be some resistance to that because it doesn't fit into our plan for that area. So, again, site three is probably the best site, in my opinion. But that could change.
Any more questions or comments from council? Yeah, this is part of a work session, so it'll definitely be revisited and give staff some time to come up with some potential, at least preliminary numbers on site three, which sounds like the popular site, or any other potential sites.
I think there is another member of the public who would like to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, thank you very much. And if you are in choice of some other sites, we'd like to be invited just, you know, to go with you and look at it and give us our opinion also. Yeah, so that would be nice. Otherwise, thank you very much for your attention.
Good evening. Catherine McLaughlin, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. Carl Moses was our representative for our region for many years. Let me remind you how much money he brought into our community. And he visited often. He lived here. He was a great advocate for our region. So for me, for that memorial to be there would be amazing. He also was a fisherman, and he loved this community, and he, as many other people, lost friends and family. So switching over to the UVB side, as a director and a tourist guide, we take the tour ships, the cruise ships, down to the Carly Moses Boat Harbor because they want to see fishing boats. They want to see crab pots. They want to see actual people working. So I think having it up in the upper area would be great because it's accessible, it's a beautiful view, and you'll have more space for parking. And if they want to go hiking, they can go hiking easily. And I think you have to think about a memorial, where you want to place it, because it's the people, the families that lost their loved ones. So do you want it by the rat? Do you want it by the airport? You want it somewhere serene that you can enjoy the view and be there with your friends and family. Thank you.
Thank you. Our interim.
This is Bill Honka. Say a few words.
Thank you. Bill Honka, our city manager, is on the phone. And when you're ready, he would like to say a few things.
Mr. Honka. Yeah, go ahead.
Did I not do something? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Bill. Go ahead.
I can.
Thank you. So first, I want to just say that we were under the impression that the artwork was on its way. That was the last time we had a conversation. I think it's the last time Mahalik's were both there. That's what gave me the incentive that we better start looking at these sites. So it's I'm sorry that we didn't invite the Mahalik's to contribute to the initial assessment, but I did think that we were behind. But the news to me I got tonight is that it might be next year. So thank you for that news. What you see tonight is part of the problem. If someone wants to designate a committee to go around and start picking sites, then I'm fine with that. But the focus had been Moses Harbor. There were even talk about putting it on the straightaway, if you recall, back when we were having discussions about funding this for $250,000. And we took notes with all of that, and we were looking at that general area in terms of the positives and the negatives. I would like a council directive tonight of some sort. If you want additional sites, I would like, again, unless we're going to set up a committee, I would like to know exactly where you would like some of these things to be explored. Because as you know, we could put 30 up here and everyone's going to have a different opinion about it. And I don't have time, nor does the staff. We tried to take in all the things that you're talking about. The airport, that plan is up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen. Bobby Stores, you just heard tonight, we're talking about redesigning that. There's Tideland work, Earth work. I thought that this was more about the community and then tourists. So I guess I'd like to hear exactly what that market is so we can take that into consideration. But I don't want it to seem like we're trying to put something without any input. This is without a directive. This is how we try to achieve it. I probably won't do that again. So I think at this point, council is putting $250,000 into it. I would like to hear more about other potential sites by a directive so that it's clear where we're going with this. We talked to OC about, you know, a shared approach. Certainly we're not intending to put this on land we don't own, but it is going to be the city's artwork. So the city is going to have to decide what's best for them in terms of how to maintain this work into the future. And if that's going to change, I need to know. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks.
Do we have any further comments? If I can just make a comment here, I just want to, I think we've narrowed it down as far as potential sites. Part of the problem with council coming forward with potential sites is we don't know the zoning. We don't know the land uses. We don't know if there's utility issues. So having a overall discussion that kind of narrows things down in this forum, I think, is very useful to get down to fewer sites. And I think we're open to looking at other sites from what I'm understanding from council. But also that the site 3 that was suggested is a potential site. Is there any more comments from council, Councilman Tungle, and then Coleman?
I think I'll lock in on that 3 option. I don't think I want to put the stop into getting in any more into surveying any more other places for it, because especially if we don't own the land, the property we have in. Agreement has been made with those OC with this property, and I think it's the best place for it, and we won't run into any issue with the land, and it's a good place for it. As they said, Carl Moses is like a father to me, and the man served this community a lot, and having it in that harbor, I think it represents a lot what he did for this community. Thank you.
Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. This is kind of a tough one because this is unless the site is cost prohibited. I mean, really, this is just one of those things. It's like, yeah, who's going to be looking at it? And this is for the community. I mean, in my opinion, actually, really doesn't matter. It just other than I get a vote, but that's why this is a work session, and that's why getting people to regurgitate what they're thinking about, oh, this would be good, this would not be good. I mean, at some point, you have to start the discussion. And this is the starting of the discussion. I mean, I actually really don't care what was said in previous. It was just more about the funds and, you know, the thought about this is the project and this is where we're going to go forward to. Now we're focusing on where we're going to put it. So this, to me, is the first really true discussion we're having about it. I think you guys have done a great job initially, and it seems like there's a fair amount of interest in the location 3, which, you know, again, I think it's more important to hear back from community as to where they think this thing should go. So and it doesn't sound like this is going to move forward as fast as, although I still think we need to go ahead and, you know, move forward with it, you know, as best we can. Not, may not be a high priority, but obviously we want to continue moving progress. And so what I've heard, you know, site-wise and may or may not, is obviously we've got some input that says, hey, maybe have y'all ever looked at Airport Beach stretch of road on that, on the water side? So, I mean, I would guess I would say, you know, continue. It looks, because like I said, I think you know, got the good, right thought in mind. But, you know, again, community input is so important. And I don't, you know, hear later, oh, well, yeah, why'd you put it there? Well, so thank you again. But like I said, work sessions are for this, and that we can voice opinions. And that's why I want to hear more opinions on this process. Thank you.
Councilman Libby.
Yeah, just kind of reiterate here as well that I think, you know, it really isn't what we want individually, it's what the public wants. And I would love to hear more comment on what the public thinks. And I don't necessarily think that any place is out of the question right now. And I do agree this is kind of a work session for everybody to put their ideas out there. I think that the staff did a great job in, you know, bringing forward the different, you know, spots that they identified and the pros and cons for each one. And, you know, and out of those sites, it seems like council's, you know, pretty much all agreeable that site 3, if we were to choose to go to the small boat harbor. I think we were just kind of looking at, you know, maybe there are other options. Maybe there's not. Maybe there's good reason not to have other options. Councilman Robinson made a good point. Anything along Airport Beach Road there between the RAT and the airport is prime commercial property. And I don't necessarily know that they would, you know, specifically give those pieces of property up for that. The airport, again, we are looking at moving it, but is this something that can be moved in that process? But then I listened to Catherine McGlashan, what she said, and that made a lot of sense to me, that, you know, it's kind of a quiet place. It's more serene, and that's what it's about. So, I agree this is a work session for everybody to kind of discuss, put ideas out there, and we might all go home and come up with different things. You know, so I don't necessarily think that we need to have directives to the city manager to say, bring us a work session. But because that's what the work session's about. And then maybe later we come up with something after we all think about it. But anyway, and the cost is always that's always a consideration on a site for something. So anyway, that's just my two cents there. So, but thank you.
Councilman or Vice Mayor Robinson, Mayor Pro Tem? Did you have one? Any more comments?
Yeah, thank you. So what we have is it's not, it's probably not going to be completed early spring, or in the spring of 24. If we get really lucky, maybe it'll be in later in the summer 24. I really want to give a shout out to Carl, the artist, for coming up with this concept. And he has been a gem in that community that I don't think we've fully recognized him for all he's done. But I'd like to hear from Carl as to where it might be. Site 3 is going to still take some talk. You know, we're going to have to talk with OC about it. That's obvious. But so that's still up in the air. But that would, to me, that would still be the preferred site. And if Carl would concur with that, then I think that would be the spot to put it. I mean, it was his dream, and he's made it come true, and Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Council Member Luby says, I don't know that we need a directive for the city manager. We pursue the site three to see if there's any problems, and if there aren't, then we come back to the drawing board and just have another work session and make it be known that try to get the word out to the public that, hey, come in here and we'll hash this thing out, so, and get more opinions. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Robinson. Did we have anybody on Zoom or on the phone?
Yes, we do. Frank Kelty asked to make a comment. Frank, I'm sending you an unmute request.
Go ahead, Frank.
Good evening, Mayor Pro Tem and council members. Frank Kelty. I tend to agree with Vice Mayor Robinson and the other proponents. I think site three to me is would be a very nice site. Hopefully, if it's the site chosen, that we can get a good deal from OC and hopefully come up with some way to get a staircase up to it for old people like me to go up and see it. But I think that's a very, very nice site, great view, great picture, a picturesque site. And to me, that would be the best site. There might be some good sites along Airport Beach Road too, but like the people have spoken out, it's a commercial, commercial area. And you hate to put something over there and then have to move it again later on if someone wanted to do a building or some construction or something. So I would say right now, my focus would be on site three at the Carl Moses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelty. Anyone else wish to speak?
No, sir. Oh, there's someone in chambers.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm back. Mari Mahalik for the Stingman Foundation. I'd like to thank Councilman Robinson for praising Carl, but also I wanted to say, when we first looked at number three, and this is like maybe 2 years ago even, Carl and me, we were saying that that would be a wonderful place for like family, you know, because our vision was there will be memorial like you see it, but there also will be four big racks with the plaques about the Aleut history and all that stuff, and about fishing and poems from Gerard Chadwick. So we were thinking if there are some benches and stuff around like that too, there would be nice place for families just to come and look around. The kids can read it, you know, can play around, and parents can sit on a bench and look over the harbor and the boats and stuff like that. So originally our idea about number three was that would be a really nice family place to go visit when you go, let's say, for a walk Sunday afternoon or whatever. So I just wanted to add this, our vision was like that originally. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you. I think we've got quite a bit of good comment there and good discussion. I think we can go ahead and I know we'll see this again as either in a work session item or, you know, as a discussion. So we'll move on here and request a motion to return into a regular session.
I make a motion to return into a regular session.
Second.
Motion by Tungle, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Without any objection, we're back in regular session. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, on which there are five items. Unless a council member asks to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The titles of the consent agenda, and I'll just read the ordinance numbers here, are Ordinance 2023-05, Ordinance 2023-06, Resolution 2023-28, Resolution 2023-29, 2023-29 and resolution 2023-30. Is there any council member wish to move one of these items to the regular agenda? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
The motion has been made by Councilman Coleman and seconded by Councilman Luby. No discussion. Can I request a roll call vote on?
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Temple?
Yes. On a vote of 6-0, the consent agenda is adopted. Let's see, we are now at the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. There's a 3-minute time limit per person. The ordinance under the regular agenda is ordinance 2023-07. Can I get a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2023-07 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 27th, 2023?
I move to introduce ordinance 2023-07, creating budget amendment number 6 to the fiscal year 2023 budget, increasing the city manager's budget by $80,000 to cover the interim city manager expenses, and increasing the airport budget by $69,400 to cover the operating and personal shortfalls. Schedule this for second reading and public hearing on June
27,
2023.
Second.
Motion's been made by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn it over to the interim city manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. So the purpose of this budget amendment is to appropriate additional funding for the city manager's department and the airport through the end, so that they can continue operations through the end of the fiscal year. We were short in the city manager's budget due to the interim city manager contract and the costs associated with that that weren't budgeted. And also we were short in the airport proprietary fund due to some unexpected repair costs at the airport and an unbudgeted personal leave cash out for an employee. So we were short in those three areas. We have additional money for the city manager coming from the general fund, and the money for the airport proprietary comes from their unrestricted net earnings from that proprietary fund. They have enough to cover that. So this is just a short up to the end of the fiscal year. One of your alternatives is not to adopt it, but if you do so, we're going to have to have a hard stop on all spending in those three areas, and that might curtail operations at the airport. So we have Clay Darnell and on the phone if you have any questions about it.
Any council questions, comments? Vice Mayor Robinson, did you have any questions or comments?
I don't.
City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
I'll restate the motion. Motion is to adopt ordinance 2023-07. Creating budget amendment number 6 to the fiscal year 2023 budget, increasing the city manager's budget by $80,000 to cover interim city manager's expenses, and increasing the airport budget by $69,400 to cover operating and personnel shortfalls. We'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
And Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
By a vote of 6-0, we will move this to second reading on June 27th, 2023. And let's see, do we have any council directives to city manager? Mr. Robinson, any directives from you?
I don't know. Thank you.
We'll move on to community input and announcements. This is a final opportunity to provide information to council or to make announcements to the community. 3-minute time limit applies. Are there any further announcements? City clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom?
No, sir. To speak? No, sir.
All right. Having completed all lines items on the agenda, if I can say it, we are adjourned at 7, I can't read the clock, 7:06. Excuse me, 7, I can't see the 7:40. I'm way off. I'm fired.